Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on!
Now, I'm relatively young. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7, The Game. I'm a relatively young guy. I'm 26 years old. And a guy by the name of Luke Kuechly, who is 28 years old, announced his surprise retirement yesterday. Linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, star linebacker for the Carolina Panthers since 2012. And he has retired after 8 seasons in the NFL. And there's a comparison that he's drawing to a certain player to the 49ers. And it's a very apt comparison and one that I think we should make, and I'll read off why in a little bit. But seeing this guy being 28 years old, seeing the reaction that he got from Twitter, and I'm going to get a little bit selfish for a second, but seeing the reaction that he got on Twitter, I couldn't imagine being 2 years older and having the masses say, "Look, you've done all you can, man. You deserve it. Enjoy retirement." I can't imagine hearing that in a couple of years, but look, that's what happens with these athletes. These athletes make the right decision. He is retiring after earning an approximate $63,836,779. And that includes bonuses, restructuring his contract, all that sort of stuff. And he just signed a contract extension with the Carolina Panthers, and Luke Kuechly has been one of, if not the best in the business. He was a Pro Bowler this year, and he has exemplified what it is to be a linebacker. He goes all out, and that's why people have loved Luke Kuechly for these last 8 seasons. And I don't know if I'm surprised this trend of guys retiring at a younger age when they've made their money and they feel like they can't play anymore. And I think the icing on the cake here for Luke Kuechly was Ron Rivera, who ended up getting fired from the Panthers. And he's been playing with Ron Rivera for his entire career. And he probably was thinking about it even with Ron Rivera there. But I think once Ron Rivera was gone from this team, Luke Kuechly just said, "Look, I don't want to risk it for anybody else. Ron Rivera's been my guy." And if you saw any of the videos, any of the congratulatory videos that Ron Rivera made, then you would have seen that they had some sort of bond, and what turned into, from a coach and player relationship, turned into a friendship. So congratulations to Luke Kuechly in the end in retirement. It's just crazy that, you know, sometimes these athletes, when they're 28 years old and they feel like they've done enough, can walk into the sunset retiring. And obviously he's going to have other business ventures and all this sort of stuff. But in the end, he's going to go down in this decade as one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker we've seen, right up there with Bobby Wagner. From the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, from the 650, concussions did it. Yeah, he has. There was, man, how many years ago was that? That wasn't last season. That might have been 2 seasons ago, where he laid a hit on somebody and he had to be carried off and they took his helmet off. It's kind of the same way you saw Mason Rudolph and their whole situation, where somehow they couldn't get a cart working, so they had to carry him off and they had to take off his face mask and everything. And the same look you saw in Mason Rudolph's face, you saw in Luke Kuechly's face a couple of years ago. And that's when the movie Concussion was coming out, and the CTE and whatnot, those symptoms and coming out in later players, that's when it all started to get publicized and popularized. And that made you realize, like, look, these players, they're getting into car collisions every single down. So that is part of the reason, too, and obviously. And he says that it was the right thing to do and that he just felt like it was time. And I feel like a lot more players are going to come to terms with that and go that route going forward if they feel like they've already proven enough. I do want to play this Spanish radio call for the Panthers game. This was in week 12 in 2015, and they were playing Dallas. This is when Tony Romo was the quarterback. But this is one of the greatest calls that we've heard in the last decade. Here is the Panthers Spanish radio on the call for a Luke Kuechly pick six to beat the Dallas Cowboys in week 12 in 2015.
Frontale, Jerry Allen por fuera. Ahí está Charles Johnson, se va a querer meter.
¡Intercepción! ¡Luke Kuechly!
¡Ahí está Luke Kuechly! ¡A la 20! ¡A la 10! ¡Te vas a meter, Luke! ¡Tétate, Luke! ¡Métete, Luke! ¡Métete, Luke! ¡Touchdown! 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 ¡La viste! ¡La mediste! ¡Báilale! 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 ¡Good, good, good! ¡Very good, very good, very good! ¡Very, very, very good! ¡Eres Luke! ¡Eres Kuechly! ¡Trozos de sandía! ¡Melón y papaya! ¡Para ti, mi querido confesor! ¡Touchdown! ¡Las Panteras le ponen 6 puntos más al marcador!
That was Jaime Moreno on the Spanish radio call for the Panthers broadcast when Luke Kuechly caught a pick six against Tony Romo. But there are a lot of comparisons that we're drawing here, and that is to one Patrick Willis, because they both played 8 seasons in the NFL, both played linebacker, both were elite at their position. And one of the quote-unquote snubs, whatever you want to call it, for the Hall of Fame finalists this year was Patrick Willis. And people felt, and, you know, there were articles written about it. I love lists. If you know the pregame show, I do love lists. And there were the lists of the biggest snubs from the Hall of Fame finalists. And Patrick Willis was up there. And now, because a big reason for that, I feel like, is that there's not much precedent beforehand of these guys retiring after 8 years, no matter how much they do. The least amount of years that a linebacker had played is 9 in the Hall of Fame. That's in the Hall of Fame. So the rest had played double-digit years. And in the last season of Patrick Willis's career, he only played 6 games. So really, he played seven and a third seasons, basically. But I do want to say, though, that the comparisons that they're drawing, you may think, like, oh, we're just drawing comparisons because they both played 8 years and they both retired early, or what quote-unquote early. I think this is going to become the normal now. So early, not really. But they are comparable. Both 7-time Pro Bowlers. Both 5-time All-Pros. Both Defensive Rookie of the Years in their time. The only thing that's different is that in 2013, Luke Kuechly won the Defensive Player of the Year. Speaking of which, I got a couple of Rookie of the Years to congratulate coming up in a couple of minutes here. But they were both all pros for the same amount of time, both 7-time Pro Bowlers, both Defensive Rookie of the Year. The only thing that's different is the Defensive Player on the Year. And for Patrick Willis and Luke Kuechly, in terms of tackles, Luke Kuechly had a little bit higher numbers. He had 1,092 combined tackles, where Patrick Willis only had 950. So, okay, a few more tackles here and there, but then again, if Luke Kuechly did play a few more games, and if those few more games were played by Patrick Willis, I'll assume that he would have been right up there. QB hits, Patrick Willis actually had more. He had 41 compared to Keekly's 31. Interceptions, Patrick Willis, or Luke Kuechly, rather, only had one, and it's the one that I played, or at least a one or 18 interceptions rather, and one for a touchdown. Whereas Patrick Willis had 8 interceptions and 2 for a touchdown, so 2 pick sixes. And they Luke Kuechly played 118 games, and Patrick Willis played 112. So the numbers there are comparable, no matter how much I just stumbled through them. Go through the Pro Football Reference pages if you want, but they are very comparable. Both 5-time All-Pros, both 7-time Pro Bowlers, both Rookie of the Years in their time, and also Luke Kuechly winning the Defensive Player of the Year. So now, if you vote Patrick Willis into Hall of Fame, You have a comparable there. Luke Kuechly most likely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, too. From the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, from the 650, Bowman was robbed in 2013. He was Defensive Player of the Year. I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, there was that question of, you know, who do you like better, Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman? And Navarro Bowman, you didn't think you'd find a better linebacker than Patrick Willis. And then Navarro Bowman comes along and you got him. Yeah, I remember that. From the 650, both Luke and P. Willie are Hall of Famers, the best at their position for 7 years. And you can, and I've heard some make the case that Patrick Willis doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because of the longevity. But if you think Luke Kuechly deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, then for sure Patrick Willis deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And for me, one thing about Luke Kuechly in his career that's been talked about, and if you happen to watch him playing your opposing team, you knew that he was smart. And if you heard any of these guys talk about it, one thing, not only was he physical, not only was he fast, but he was smart. He could play mind games with you. It's always the quarterback versus the linebacker, the quarterback versus the linebacker. It's a chess match between the two. And Luke Kuechly, a majority of the time, would have the upper hand. And that's what stands out to me with Luke Kuechly. It is just, and it showed on the field. It showed on, there was even a play in this game against the Niners earlier, even though the Niners put a beatdown on the Panthers, there was a play where Luke Kuechly just totally busted through the defensive line, timed it perfectly, and knew what was coming, and knew it was a run and got into the backfield. He did that consistently in his career. And I think that's what stands out to me most with Luke Kuechly. So it stinks that he's retiring, but also I think it's understandable to a lot of people, especially to everyone. It should be understandable to everyone, especially with what we know now that's come out about concussions and just what playing that position entails and what comes along with playing the linebacker position when it's that physical. So congratulations to Luke Kuechly and everything and all his success, and 28 years old and one of the best linebackers we've seen in this decade. And it's going to be hard to find another one of these up-and-comers like that who just make an impact right away. But coming up in the show, I want to look around at these other playoff teams and kind of rank where Jimmy G is compared to these other quarterbacks. I want to rank where the run games are at compared with these four teams. I want to rank where the defenses are at, and I also want to just seed these teams 1 through 4. If we're going to seed them, Niners, Titans, Chiefs, and the Packers, how are we going to seed these teams? Because there aren't any seeds anymore. This is a whole new game. The playoffs, now we've got a sample size of each team. And now we're down to the final four. So I do want to get the seeding from you. Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Got some interesting comments from John Clayton, who was on with Jolo and Dibsy yesterday, and he had a couple of things to say. And I got a spoiler for you. My number one team in these playoffs is not the San Francisco 49ers. We'll get into all that next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. GoldenStateLumber.com. Feel free to hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 as always, 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford in with you up until 6 o'clock, then Jolo and Dibs leading you till 10, 10 to 2, Bonte Steine and Guru 2 to 6, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, speaking of which, got the interview of the day coming up at 540. But I do have a terrific question on the Chilton Auto Body text here, the text line here at 95795. Which audio clip gets you more pumped up? The Spanish announcer calling the Kuechly pick six, or Mike Zimmer getting Vikings fans fired up for the Niner game? I'll play both. And in case you're just joining me, Luke Kuechly retired at the age of 28. Spent the first segment talking about him and just the impact that he's had on football and how this could be a trend going forward. And he's exactly comparable to Patrick Willis in every matter of concern, except for defensive player of the year, of course. But which audio clip gets you more psyched up? Mike Zimmer getting Vikings fans pumped up, or the Spanish radio announcer calling the Kuechly pick six? Well, here's Mike Zimmer before that Niner game after they beat the Saints. Here's Mike Zimmer on the Vikings Twitter getting the fans pumped up.
Hey, Vikings fans, I'll see you in San Francisco. Now let's go get it.
Well, there's that one from Mike Zimmer. But then there is the Spanish radio call for a Luke Kuechly pick six against the Dallas Cowboys when Tony Romo was the quarterback back in week 12 of 2015.
Cuatro frontales, Jerry Allen por fuera. Ahí está Charles Johnson, se va a querer meter.
¡Intercepción! ¡Intercepción! ¡Luke Kuechly!
¡Ahí está Luke Kuechly! ¡A la 20! ¡A la 10! ¡Te vas a meter, Luke! ¡Métete, Luke! ¡Métete, Luke! ¡Métete, Luke! ¡Touchdown! 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 ¡La viste! ¡La mediste! ¡Báilale! 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 ¡Good, good, good! ¡Very good, very good, very good! ¡Very, very, very good! ¡Eres Luke! ¡Eres Kuechly! ¡Trozos de sandía! ¡Melón y papaya! ¡Para ti, mi querido confesor! ¡Touchdown! ¡Las Panteras le ponen 6 puntos más al marcador!
Yeah, I'd say the Spanish radio call gets me a little more pumped up than that.
Hey, Vikings fans, I'll see you in San Francisco. Now let's go get it.
Oh, poor guy. He didn't want to do that. From the 510, dispute the Luke story. Who can run the ball better in the big moment? Who would run more successful between Titans and 49ers if they were to play tonight? And wow, Titans and 49ers in their run games and weather, and who would be more successful? It's hard to not give the edge to the Titans, but also you got to think that Derrick Henry's just one guy. There's not another guy they're going to go out there and use. And it'd be if the Niners were running the ball 35 times and the total yardage among those three guys, whether it be Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, or Matt Breida. And that's a tough question, because it all depends also on the defense that they're going to be going against. Now, for me, you got the Titans going up against that Chiefs defense, the run defense, which has been suspect all year. They improved a little bit toward the end of the season, but still, it's been that run defense which has been the problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I would think that if you had to put, let's use them as an example here for both the 49ers and the, which I actually think is going to be the Super Bowl matchup, so you're going to be seeing that anyway. So let's just say we have the Titans and the run game playing the Chiefs, Derrick Henry going up against that Chiefs run defense, or the 49ers run game, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, and Matt Breida, depending if they even run Matt Breida anymore, going up against the Kansas City Chiefs defense. It's so hard to just go against that one guy, Derrick Henry, because it feels like he's worse all three guys. If I had to put my faith in one run game to get it done, it would have to be the Titans. It would have to be the Titans run game, because we haven't seen what the Niners run game did in this last matchup, running the ball 47 times. Haven't had a 100-yard rusher since that game against the Ravens with Raheem Mostert when he ran for 146. And you had Tevin Coleman run for 105 with a couple of touchdowns in this last game. But if I had to put my faith in one, I would do it in the Titans run game. If I had to just put all my chips into that. Because Derrick Henry, you just can't go against that guy. You just can't go against that guy. John Clayton, he was on with Joe Lo and Dibs yesterday, and he had a couple of interesting things. And coming up, we'll get into the rankings of these playoff teams and how we're going to seed the top four. And we'll take a look at all the aspects of it, whether it be the defense. And we'll combine, I think, the runs and passing game, too. We can combine the position players, the wide receivers, and the running backs. And then, of course, we can compare quarterbacks as well as the defense. But John Clayton, NFL insider, you may have known him from ESPN. You've seen him for sure if you're a football fan. But he was talking about the Packers and how to really counter what they're going to do. And here he is talking about Aaron Rodgers and what makes them at least a little bit dangerous.
The one thing that's kind of interesting is, like, being on the sidelines watching the Packers on Sunday is how light they can be. Because most of the time what they like to do is play three safeties as opposed to having that second linebacker when they go nickel. And so they only have one linebacker on the field for the most part, Blake Martinez. And I know that the two Smiths, they're linebackers, but they're playing then in the nickel on the defensive end slot. And so because of that, and we're seeing this with a bunch of teams, particularly after watching, you know, Derek Henry on Sunday, is that you can be a little bit too light. And so if you can go heavy with the run game, and of course with Pacow, it doesn't matter which of the three running backs he can use. He can use all three and design it. I think that's going to be the advantage for the 49ers, you know, in trying to run the football, establish the game, and that try to win it that way.
So that's going to be the key for the 49ers on offense to him, is if you just run with heavy sets, run with 12 personnel, hell, 22 personnel, or just 12 personnel, 11 personnel, any type of, look, 21 personnel, whatever. You can run it with Juszczyk and Coleman in the backfield with Kittle blocking, which is primarily what they do. You could take Juszczyk out of the play. Hell, you could place him in a wide receiver slot and just have Matt Breida back there along with Ross Dwelly and George Kittle blocking on the line. So you can run heavy sets like that. But he talked about the key also on the defensive end for the 49ers.
Well, the key is taking away Davante Adams, because Aaron is as good as he's always been. And so the unfair criticism is, oh, yeah, he overthrows the ball here. A lot of it's just that the other wide receivers who are unnamed aren't as good. I mean, he's like throwing in the 38-39% range on 4 second plays to plays other than, say, Davante Adams. And so what the key is, take Richard Sherman and just mirror him. But I think that why mess up a good thing? Nobody throws on Richard Sherman's side, so don't do that. So you would figure that Adams is going to be on the other side, but they've got to have somebody to match up against him and take him out as much as possible. Because when that happens, that's when you see the overthrows, that's when you see the incompletions, and that's when occasionally you'll see Aaron Rodgers hold onto the ball a little bit too long.
So basically he said he doesn't have any other weapons besides Davante Adams. And sure, you can look at, I don't know, Jake Kumerow, who Raiders fans are not too big of fans of, because Jake Kumerow had that catch in the second half and kept in bounds and all that sort of stuff, and then that's what made him lose against the Packers, among many other things. But you got Kumerow, you got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who people felt like when Davante Adams went down, I'm picking this guy up for fantasy football. Maybe that's not just you, but that was me for sure, and I regret it instantly. You got Geronimo Allison, who did make a big catch in this last game. You got Jimmy Graham, who's not the same Jimmy Graham, and you saw the last play. So they can come up in the clutch moments, but really they were getting downfield with Davante Adams like they hadn't really for a majority of the season, so they could be back into form. But it's going to be up to the coaches. And I want to know from you, Chilton on a body text line, 95795. Hearing that, it makes me think that the Packers are not going to line. They're going to do anything they can to not line up Davante Adams alongside Richard Sherman, opposite Richard Sherman, rather. They're going to do whatever they can to get him away and line him up one-on-one with Emmanuel Mosley or Kaywan Williams in the slot. But my question for you is, Chilton on a body text line, 95795, now, if Emmanuel Mosley, this is a hypothetical, right? You saw what happened with Witherspoon. I was talking about it all last week. If Robert Saleh says that Witherspoon didn't have a bad game in week 17, then I believe that, because to me, in the secondary, we don't see everything that's going on. We only take what we see at face value, and that doesn't always mean it's accurate. And Robert Saleh said that it was inaccurate that he played a bad game in week 17. So I said, look, if Akello Witherspoon thinks he's going to start, Robert Saleh thinks he can start, then put Akello Witherspoon in, even though he was on the receiving end of those four touchdowns in the last two games. Saw what happened with the whole Stephon Diggs play. Ball was underthrown. He didn't make an adjustment to it. Stephon Diggs did, and then that gave up the touchdown in the second drive of the game, and you saw Akello Witherspoon was benched after that. But my question is, if Davante Adams is lined up opposite Emmanuel Mosley and Rodgers is just going at Davante Adams, kind of like the way Matt Ryan was going at Emmanuel Mosley with Julio Jones, do you even consider taking out Emmanuel Mosley and putting Akello Witherspoon back in, or are you just good with dying on that hill? You don't even want to see Akello Witherspoon anymore. You just want Emmanuel Mosley in there, and if, say, they happen to work around that, they happen to game plan at that, and it's successful, then it's okay. Like, we don't need to take out Emmanuel Mosley and put in another cornerback who has been struggling. Because that move was made, like, suddenly. I don't know, like, I don't know if anyone expected him to be in there for one more drive, but you saw when Emmanuel Mosley came into the game that the stats just got instantly better and that Kirk Cousins was having way less success. Now, you can pinpoint that on the pass rush. In that second drive, the pass rush didn't really get there, and for once, Kirk Cousins had a little bit of time. So really, not only can this come down to the whole situation with Emmanuel Mosley versus Davante Adams, but I think that in the end, it's going to come up down to the pass rush and whether they get to the quarterback and make Aaron Rodgers uncomfortable again. It's so hard for me to find ways in which the Packers can win this game simply because the Packers didn't make many mistakes. The 49ers, any turnovers that they had, the 49ers defense forced those turnovers. They weren't self-inflicted on the Packers' side. And he completed 20-plus passes and only got 104 yards out of it. It's so hard for me to look at that last game and think things can change unless something drastic happens, unless the 49ers manage to pull a Plaxico Burress and shoot themselves in the foot while wearing sweatpants in the club. Like, unless they do that, then it's hard for me really to see the Packers even having a chance this game. I know they got Aaron Rodgers, but there's only so much he can do. And Aaron Jones, sure, he's tied for the league lead with touchdowns, with 16 rushing touchdowns. Not totals, because obviously McCaffrey's up there. But with 16 rushing touchdowns, he's tied up there with Derrick Henry. And you wonder if Aaron Jones can be that bell cow that's going to get him down the field. And he was doing a little bit of that against the Seahawks. But really, as far as average yards per carry, as far as total yards, Aaron Jones isn't even in the top 10 among running backs. He just scores a lot of touchdowns. It's kind of like the LeGarrette Blount effect. When LeGarrette Blount, you remember that season where he scored like 18 or whatever it was with the Patriots? It's kind of that same deal. And Aaron Jones was a fifth rounder, which is actually kind of crazy. But Aaron Rodgers, he can only do so much. And you can put the faith in the 49ers offense. They're going to try and run the ball again. And John Clayton said that if they run those heavy sets, which they normally do, and they try and make the defense play light, then you're going to be able to run the ball effectively and dictate the tempo of the game and everything. So it's just hard for me to find a way to see the Packers actually winning this game. Chilton Autobody, text line 95795 from the 510. I know it's not smart, but I want Witherspoon to start. And same like last game, put him out if any slip. Then Mosley knows what he's dealing with. Yeah, that's an interesting take. If you're going to give up one, you don't want to. If you start Emmanuel Mosley, you're saying that you don't want Akello Witherspoon. You don't think that if Emmanuel Mosley's having a bad game, that Akello Witherspoon can come in and kind of ease on the damage and can kind of, you know, just consistently try and get them back to form. You don't think that can happen. You're saying start Akello Witherspoon, let the bad stuff happen first, and then if Emmanuel Mosley comes in and doesn't do the same and actually saves the game, then I could see your point there. That's an interesting strategy. It's an interesting strategy. All right, coming up, our interview of the day will be at 5:40, and I do want to play this Panthers Spanish radio call one more time because Luke Kuechly did retire at the age of 28 from the Carolina Panthers. Want to seed these teams, the top four, in these playoffs, and then we'll go from there. Chilton Autobody text line 95795, 888-957-9570. Stephen Lankford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Lankford.
Stephen Lankford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, and from the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795 from the 510. Number one, Tennessee. Number two, Frisco. Number three, KC. Number four, Green Bay. And that's the start. I want to start seeding these top playoff teams, 1 through 4. I mean, we're only down to 4 now. So this is a little more simple. I'm not asking you to power rank the entire NFL. Just these four teams where you see them right now. Now let's try and take... We can take the regular season into account. But also, let's keep in mind that, I mean, this is still the playoffs, so we're looking at something completely different. But you can seed these however way you want it. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. I do want to get to a couple of calls, though. Luke Kuechly, congratulations to him, 28 years old, retired from the NFL after eight fantastic seasons, seven-time Pro Bowler, five-time All-Pro, 2013 NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and Rookie of the Year when he was a rookie. But there's one Spanish call from Panthers Radio, Jaime Marino. He's very popular with all this sort of stuff. And this went viral when it happened, but this was in 2015 when Tony Romo was the quarterback for the Cowboys and Luke Kuechly had a pick six. Take a listen.
Cuatro frontales, Jerry Allen por fuera. Ahí está Charles Johnson, se va a querer meter.
¡Intercepción! ¡Intercepción! ¡Luke Kuechly!
Ahí está Luke Kuechly, a la 20, a la 10, te vas a meter, Luke. ¡Tétete, Luke! ¡Métete, Luke! ¡Métete, Luke! ¡Touchdown! 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 ¡La viste! ¡La mediste! ¡Báilale! 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 ¡Good, good, good! ¡Very good, very good, very good! ¡Very, very, very good! ¡Eres Luke! ¡Eres Kuechly! ¡Trozos de sandía! Y papaya para ti, mi querido confesor. Touchdown. Las Panteras le ponen 6 puntos más al marcador.
Legendary. Legendary. As we move on from one legendary play-by-play voice in Jaime Marino making that call on the Luke Kuechly pick six to another legendary play-by-play voice in Kevin Harlan. He was on with Damon Radowinkowski. He is our interview of the day. Again, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 925. Stop with the Frisco. It's SF. Sorry, he said Frisco on the text line. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I just read whatever's on there. I didn't even think about it. I know. I've never called it Frisco in my life. All right? I want to be clear with that. I want to be very clear. Never have I called it Frisco. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. But as we move on to the next play-by-play guy, I do want to get your text in, though. Chill, not a body text line, 95795. I want you to rank the playoff teams right now, 1 through 4. Who do you got? Chiefs, Titans, Niners, Packers. Who do you got, 1 through 4? I want to get your text in at 95795. But Kevin Harlan, in case you already don't know the voice, and which you should, here's a call from 2011 when he was on Westwood One Radio and a drunk streaker ran out on the field during the Niners and Rams.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat. Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Kevin Harlan was on with Damon Radowinkowski yesterday. Here is that interview.
He is the voice of the NFL, the NBA, all over Westwood One, TNT. I believe he's coming out here on Thursday, up high, down hard. One of the best in the business. Kevin Harlan joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great, Damon. Ray, good to be on with you guys. And I think it's going to be a nice game out in Santa Clara for the Niners and the Packers NFC Championship. And two quarterbacks that have a, I think in some ways, a kind of a similar style, to be quite honest. I think it's going to be closer than some people think.
You know, when a team throttles a team in the regular season, it's always hard to do it again. But when I really start looking at the check boxes of who's got what in this, the only check I put next to Green Bay where they clearly have an advantage is at quarterback. Otherwise, I think the Niners are superior everywhere else on the field.
I don't know that the gap between the Aaron Rodgers of 2 and 3 years ago is as great as that now. I think it's a little bit closer, and I guess I would say this. The main difference between the two teams, in my eyes, is one more elite Green Bay receiver. Not even elite. I shouldn't just good, solid, reputable NFL receiver. Like, I look at the Niners, and you've got, if you throw Kittle in there, who's elite and maybe the best tight end in pro football, and then Debo, and then Emmanuel, and then you've got, I just think a better feel at that position right now than Green Bay does. They've really only got one, and that's Davante Adams, and then there is a pretty significant drop-off. Thus, Adams gets a lot of attention. Rodgers will give him almost two looks every drop back. Then he's left with just a couple options, and it's really kind of put them in your hand, roll them on the floor, and see what you got, because it has not been like that second valve that he can push or pull. And I think Garoppolo's got that advantage. Even at tight end with Jimmy Graham, he can't get open. He's not the Jimmy Graham of 2-3 years ago as a Pro Bowl tight end. He's not close to that. He's lost speed. His maneuverability isn't what it once was when he was in that Pro Bowl era of his career. So I think because of that, Rodgers throws it away a lot. His percentage is down. And thus, that's why I say maybe a quarterback, it's a little more even than we all may think going in.
If this game were at Lambeau, the way you've explained the difference between the two teams and the difference between this Packer team and the Packers of 2 or 3 years ago, it almost sounds like it wouldn't matter where the game was, that the 49ers' advantages just stand out more. And even though the game might be closer in Green Bay, probably not close enough.
I think, Ray, you've nailed it. I think that's kind of how I feel. I don't know what that Green Bay feel is now. I don't know what it's like for any teams, to be quite honest, because we see teams go on the road and win with regularity. And by the way, just a couple of short years ago without Garoppolo, San Francisco went to Lambeau on a Monday night and played well. So I don't, and then you take into consideration what happened this year earlier on Sunday night in Santa Clara, and I think Green Bay is going uphill, and I think it's a little bit steeper than maybe even the odds are going into this middle portion of the week. I think the defenses are pretty close. There may be one more elite player on that side than on the Green Bay side for the Niners, maybe two. And I really like Warner. They're a little bit healthier now. We know at linebacker, that makes a difference. Quan is back. And I think that Green Bay does have some edge rusher ability comparable to what the Niners have, to be quite honest. So I don't know if it's that great an advantage. So I guess I come back to the offenses. Lines are basically the same. Tight end, clear advantage for the Niners, and wide receiver depth and just overall quality, I would definitely put in San Francisco's corner. Running backs, to me, are pretty close. Although, if I really had to sit down and start to pick them apart, maybe at the Niners. So it's uphill for Green Bay. And those are more optics talking than maybe if I sit down and look at the analytical numbers. But optically, it feels that way. It looks that way to me.
Is there a palpable tactical difference between Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur to the point where you could say, for one of the rare times in football, that somebody actually does have a demonstrative advantage at the coaching position?
I don't know, Ray, that I would take it that far, but I think clearly had to work with this overall roster without Garoppolo. And I even said last year, I thought that would be a benefit down the road, and not that everybody said that, or a lot of people said that. I just thought that when he had to deal with a lot of injuries and not the full accompaniment of people that they've got now, that this, in the long run, would benefit the Niners when it's going to matter, and this is the year I thought it would matter. And I think, sure enough, guys have gotten time, whether it's Mostert or whoever you want to pick, who got more reps, became more of a factor, carried more on their shoulders, more responsibility, whoever it might have been on either side of the ball. It just felt like this was an investment in guys that would have to somehow down the line in a big season, in big games, stand out. And that is my feel on what Kyle had to deal with the last couple of years and what LaFleur has not had to go. He's not had to go down that road. He's not had to work a season without Rodgers. He's not, because it's in his first year. He's not had a season where he's lost maybe a playmaker or two and had to really maneuver. Now, I know we had Kittle gone for a couple games this past year. In fact, refresh my memory, was Kittle out in that San Francisco Seattle game on the Monday night in Santa Clara?
Yes, he was.
That he was not in that game. So that is something. Now, he has had to deal for a four-game stretch without Devontae Adams at receiver, and consequently, the team really hit a trough. They staggered. So it was pretty evident that what Rodgers was working with when Adams is gone, there is no deceptiveness. There's nothing that gives the defense in that area a moment of pause. With Adams, Green Bay has about all the firepower they've got right now on this roster. And I just don't know if it's enough with the clever defensive backs that the Niners have. So I think that I would give the nod to Kyle purely on having that exposure to different situations that LaFleur has not had to tackle in his first year with the Packers.
The unmistakable voice of Kevin Harlan here on 95.7 The Game. You had the call at Lambeau last week, and I really thought that if the Seahawks made it to the NFC title game, the familiarity there would have been a little bit more of a problem with the Niners. And Kevin, even though the Packers get to this game, is there a team this year that just did a better job hanging around in every game than Seattle?
No. 10 one-score wins, but it was all on the quarterback.
Always.
So, you know, yeah, if you take him out of the equation, they are probably 500. I mean, just the other night at Lambeau, they got to within, what, five, and they made it a game, and it was only because of Wilson. Lynch wasn't a factor. Really, few players stood out. Yes, it would be closer. There's no doubt. And it wouldn't be the 7.5 or whatever it is right now that they're talking about.
You're going to be off to Arrowhead now for the AFC title game. Talk about scary teams. When Patrick Mahomes is feeling it, I don't know if there's a more scary unit in all of football than the Chiefs are here to play a little offense this quarter.
Well, especially now, and they've got, you know, they don't have a running game. They do it by committee and with journeyman. So that's the one component that to me, you know, strikes a little bit of, you know, question mark in the Chiefs' attack. They're so reliant on Mahomes and on Kelce, the tight end, and on Tyreek Hill, and a couple good quality receivers under him, like Sammy Watkins and DeMarcus Robinson. So they're kind of like the Niners in that regard. They've got quality and depth at receiver. They've got the elite tight end, but they don't have the you know, packet at running back that the Niners have. And if these two meet in the Super Bowl, that would be like my first observation right off the bat. So Kansas City has got, you know, just they've got to deal with a team that right now is playing with abandon on the road. They've won a couple games that no one thought they would in Foxborough, in Baltimore, and they've done it with the running back as the centerpiece of their attack and an opportunistic defense. And kind of like, we have no pressure on us because we're a sixth seed. We have no pressure on us. No one expected even this when we began the season 2-4, made a big quarterback change. So Tennessee comes in, you know, freewheeling, letting it rip, riding this running back. To me, the big question is they give him the ball a lot. Surely there is a warranty that says it expires. And I don't know when it's going to be for Derrick Henry. Will it be in Arrowhead this week? Could it be in the Super Bowl if they make it that far? They're sure putting a lot of chips into his corner, but so far it's worked. They've controlled the clock. They've gotten the touchdowns. It's opened up what passing game they have, and it's made kind of a quarterback who is kind of a meh now into a guy that say, yeah, you know what? He's more than just a manager. He's got options. He can do the job, and he's got to be contended with. That's what that one running back has done for the entire run that the Tennessee Titans have had.
It's always so good to hear you. You know, Mary Hart had her legs insured for, I think, $1 million. What are we going to insure your vocal cords for? You're the hardest working man in the business. You're going to be here for Warriors Nuggets, and then you're turning around going back to Kansas City. Were you in New Orleans last night?
No, I was not. No, I was not in New Orleans. We're actually just leaving Green Bay right now. We have a summer home up in northern Wisconsin, which we just shut down for the winter. But we stayed there over this past couple days when the Packers hosted, which was a lot of fun. A lot of fun snow up here, but we're headed back home now to Kansas City and getting ready for what I think is going to be a good weekend. But listen, if it is the Niners and if it's the Chiefs, that right now on paper going from this point forward may be the sexiest Super Bowl matchup with, I don't know how they're going to look at it, the people that know more about football than me, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves there, but it feels that way. That would be a dynamite Super Bowl 54.
The call would be extraordinary. You wouldn't even need a drunk guy on the field to fill time. Like, it would be...
Oh, no.
There'd
You're
be
right.
plenty.
You're right, Damon. No need for that.
Kevin, you are the best. Thank you so much, sir. We'll see you on Thursday at Shea Center.
Thank you, Damon. Thank you, Ray. Great to be on with you guys. Always fun. Talk to you down the road.
That voice is just legendary. Legendary. Kevin Harlan with Damon Radwinkolsky yesterday. You'll be able to find that interview on 957thegame.radio.com if you want to go back on it. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Want you to rank the top four. Obviously, they're the top four. The remaining four teams in the NFL playoffs. The 49ers, the Titans, the Packers, and the Chiefs. How would you rank them? Chilton Autobody text line, because we've already gotten a few. And we've also gotten a few Frisco texts. Half saying, don't say Frisco. The other half saying, if you're an old school Bay Area cat, then you're good with saying Frisco. So either one. But from the 973 on the Chilton Autobody text line, and this so happens to be mine, and I have a very controversial one. I actually have the Chiefs as the number one team. My rankings would go Chiefs, Niners, Titans, Packers. And the ones that we're getting a lot here from the 415, Titans, 49ers, KC, Packers. From the 408, 49ers, Chiefs, Titans, Packers. Niners, most complete team. Mahomes makes Chiefs great. Henry and the Titans playing lights out. Packers got to come to Santa Clara and face the same defense, but this time with Ford and Alexander. I don't see their offense being able to do anything more. I completely agree with you. But with the Chiefs, their offense is back to form. And we can't forget that despite that defense, despite the run defense, and by the way, they're top 10 in pass defense. Okay, so they may not be able to stop Derrick Henry running the ball, and neither of these other two teams, but this last game against the Ravens, you got to remember, these teams sat their starting guys in week 17. They come and then they have a bye week. And also in that time in week 17, Mark Ingram hurt his calf. So they didn't have the same run game. Lamar Jackson was still able to run for over 150 yards. The Ravens, to me, I know Derrick Henry had that the monster game, and I don't want to disparage anything that he did. And he had that monster run to make it 21-7. But look, or to make it 21-6 rather. But I really believe that the Ravens just muffed that game up and could have been in it. And in the final moments, here's the reason why. Derrick Henry was doing all that stuff and running down their throat, whatever. But in the finality of the game, they were just punt at the end of the game. And to me, the Titans, they've played a New England Patriots team, which is terrific on defense. So they doing what they did against that the Patriots defense, they didn't do too much, to be honest with you. They ran the ball a ton with Derrick Henry, but in the end, they were only able to get 14 points out of it. We got to remember that Derrick Henry, he runs for all these yards, but in the end, he's only got one touchdown out of it. And so the rest, you got to rely on Ryan Tannehill and these other two. He had one, which was a good play at the goal line, but that came off a Ravens turnover. So to me, Kansas City, they put their foot on the gas and they just didn't stop against the Texans. And when I saw Kansas City doing that, that put me back to the times where, okay, Mahomes is back to being Mahomes. Tyreek Hill coming back from that hit. They still got the best talent. Damian Williams is turning himself into the star running back there. And the only reason I wouldn't put the 49ers ahead of the Chiefs is because of Patrick Mahomes ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play well. He didn't play as well as he could have against the Vikings. That game could have been much worse for the Vikings. That game could have been a game much like the Packers back in week 11. That game could have been much like the Panthers where they put up a 50-burger on them. That game could have been terrible for the Vikings had Jimmy Garoppolo been good. He was not very good. So to me, Kansas City is that number one team. I know they don't have that all-around complete team that you want from a number one, but that offense, when they get going and what you did against the Texans, sure, the Texans' defense isn't very good, but still, watching the Kansas City Chiefs do that, run out of fireworks, touchdown fireworks, I have to put them at number one. And I know from the 209, Titans ended a dynasty, made an MVP look like a second-round pick, Niners, Chiefs, Packers. I understand that the Titans did all that, but that dynasty was coming to a close anyway. The Dolphins beat that team in the last week. Don't forget that. The Dolphins did. And the Titans barely came away with that game. Had Julian Edelman not dropped the second and sixth pass, we could have been looking at a completely different game. Could have been looking at a completely different ball game. So I think that the Chiefs, for me, coming off that bye week, I think they're red hot right now, and Patrick Mahomes is back to his ways. He got hurt earlier in the season, and they had to bring in Matt Moore, and they were able to still put up numbers. So I have to put Kansas City up there, and then I put the Niners, then I put the Titans, and then I put the Packers. That's how I got. From the 209, you need to stop. KC defense is not good. They won because Texans couldn't finish. They won. I mean, dude, the Texans put up 24 in that first half and only ended up with 31. So in the second half, the Kansas City Chiefs defense did their job with Will Fuller as a wide receiver. And the Texans have an average of one more touchdown per game when Will Fuller's on the field. So I understand that, but still, putting up a 50-burger up in the playoffs is not easy doing what the Chiefs did there. I got to put the Chiefs there at number one. We can continue to discuss this a little more tomorrow coming up. Nick Collins at 8 o'clock, Marty Morningweg at 8:30, and Mike Silver at 9:05 with Joe Lo and Dibs. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.